Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Blessed are they who have kept the word with a generous heart and yield a harvest through perseverance. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in a household forever, but a son always remains. So if the Son frees you, then you will truly be free. But I know you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me because my word has no room among you. I tell you what I have seen in my Father's presence, then do what you have heard from the Father." They answered and said to him, "Our father is Abraham." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You are doing the works of your father." So they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, then you would love me. For I came from God and am here. I did not come on my own, but he sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Jesus Christ. The swiftness of the season of Lent, I think, has brought into very acute focus the rhythm and tenor of the season itself. What I mean by that is just a few weeks ago, the church celebrated the joy within the season of Lent, wearing rose, sort of taking a reprieve from the penance itself. So we found ourselves almost through the season and yet already turning our eyes a little bit upwards, seeing the end and seeing the proximity of our Lord and his resurrection. And then it seems with the resounding gong, Passion Tide brings us back to our attention and the attention and focus of the season. With the veiling of the cross and the veiling of statues and images in church, we see it as an invitation to meditate, friends, on Christ who veils his divinity so as to manifest in his humanity the redemptive power of his suffering and his passion. So with the fifth Sunday in Lent, as we walk into these churches, as we did days ago and as we do this evening, we're struck by God who has obscured his face from us. God, it seems, who has hidden himself from us. A God who we desire to rejoice with, to be with, to abide in, and yet nonetheless seems to obfuscate his own image, and at times obfuscate his own work. That God is really drawing us into deeper relationship with him, by what feels like at times a distancing from our lives. And here is really where the tension in the penitential season comes to the fore, as we find ourselves perhaps on a very human and natural level, flagging in our disciplines and our approach to Lent, getting a little bit sort of, less zealous about the disciplines we've assumed. As I preached about just weeks ago on Ash Wednesday, how quickly do we feel our humanity in the small things that we assume in our lives, of prayer and fasting and almsgiving, those things that we've sort of cultivated as ways in which we could turn our attention to the Lord, how quickly do we become sort of a little less assiduous about it? You're like, well, cold showers. I mean, who takes cold showers? These are lukewarm showers. These aren't so bad. So we could find ourselves easily convincing ourselves that we're doing okay, that we're doing all right. And so it seems in this instance that the Lord is almost like retreating from us. But we have to remember, friends, that the one who sort of flees from us, he does it so that we chase after him. If we go back to the Song of Songs, the Song of the Beloved, we see one who not only bounds over the mountaintop and gazes through the window to catch a glimpse of his beloved, but is the one who engages in this great and poetic chase, this sort of dynamic relationship and invitation. And to think of God in this relation, in which God is sort of jealous for our hearts and he desires all of us. And so it's sin that really wants to draw us away from those things. And in sin and in Lent, we can really see our sin very clearly, because perhaps we're praying more, we're fasting, we're trying to sort of increase in our faith, hope, and love of the Lord. And so we can see those habitual sins and those vices, and maybe just how deeply the talons of them have become sunk into our own flesh. We realize how hard it is to rid ourselves of those habits and sins. And so we see how just in a moment, the Lord alone is the one who can free us from these things. And often he'll use it in ways we might understand. We see in the prophet Daniel today, King Nebuchadnezzar takes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he places them here into this white hot furnace for failing to worship the statue, to commit this act of idolatry, to reject the Lord. Like here in the season of Lent, we're bound up in that tension too, of everything that the world professes to be good seeks to draw us away from what is here, which is the Lord himself. And so concerned is Nebuchadnezzar for the power of their God that he heats it 7 times greater than it normally would be. And he has some of the strongest men in his army bind them and cast them into the furnace. And so we see just how much Satan fears the power of God. And just how much, as we move into Holy Week, Satan really fears the great power at work. And that's the invitation for us, friends, as we move into this consideration and meditation of the Lord's Passion, is how all of the forces of ill, of evil, acted against the Lord in that time, that everything seemed to come crashing down upon him. And in that moment, we would want nothing more than for the Lord to transfigure himself fully, to manifest his divinity, to show his great power before them. But he humbled himself and he took the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men. Jesus veils himself. Fear understands that by the Father's power and not the world's power, that in these quiet and hidden ways is this work done. And so actually the freedom that we have for these 3 stalwart men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their freedom comes within the furnace. And it requires for them a submission to the Lord and his providence for them. The great answer that they offer to the Lord and to the King himself. If our God, whom we serve, can save us from the furnace and from your hands, O King, may he save us. But even if he will not, know, O King, that we will not serve your God. That in that moment, the great act of faith that they make is not predicated upon the work that God will do in their lives, but it is predicated upon their relationship with him. That no matter what happens to us here, we can trust in him nonetheless. And so it's this faith in the Lord, it's this knowledge of who he is, and it's this identity that has been revealed that allows our Blessed Mother and the Magdalene of John the Apostle and the other women and disciples there to remain by his side. And so it's the Lord, friends, who's always trying to remind us of these truths and bring us back to it, but he will do so in these hidden ways. And so the invitation as we move into Palm Sunday and Holy Week is to really look for the Lord in the hiddenness of your life, that the Lord comes to us veiled. And we see in the time of the resurrection that he does not manifest his divinity and his power over sin and death in remarkable ways, but in these hidden encounters on the road to Emmaus and in the privacy of the upper room. But before we get to that place, the Lord wants to meet us now in the midst of his passion as he travels from Jerusalem to Bethany and back, as he meets with his friends, as he appears in the temple, as he undergoes his passion. The Lord is very hidden, but he does so to subvert the plans of the enemy. And so I just invite you into that meditation this week, especially as we move forward into this blessed time in the church, to in a particular way support those who are entering into the church, to pray for them and to pray for their spiritual well-being, especially as they feel a temptation, perhaps, to forego their plan in their mind, these catechumens. We pray for them, and we pray for all of those faithful who gather around the world. They recognize that it's Christ who is King and who comes to us in the hiddenness of our lives.